we desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like for everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
So we are a lot of things tonight. We are a little tired.
Yeah.
What else?
Mostly tired. I'm drinking coffee right now. Out of one of my favorite mugs. You see what it says? I don't need Google. My wife knows everything. That's facts.
That's not facts. that is not facts.
No. For example, today she likes to drive from the passenger seat. So we were leaving out of her dad's house from the neighborhood. We were trying to go to I-26.
This is debatable.
I was making a left. She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to I-26. You just hop International Boulevard, boom, you right there. Eyes right there. She said, "You know what? I'm gonna just let you drive. It's too close. You should have been had that on there."
I did. I just was trying to make sure it's not too loud.
Yeah, please. Hold on, y'all. I'm sorry.
All the way down there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, she said, "Where are you going?" As I'm turning left, I-26 is right there. She said, "You know what? I'm going to just let you drive." Okay. But that pained her so much because we've had this conversation before. Because I know she wanted to tell me to turn right. To go down Dilchester.
I would have.
Exactly.
Because we were going towards Somerville. So to me, he's still, anyways. But honestly, there have been times where you turn the wrong way. I gotta reel you back.
I don't need Google. My wife knows everything.
Well, anyways.
You know, I might move it up a little bit, baby. Because it's going to keep it in the table.
Okay.
I can't grab it.
Okay. I got it.
There you go.
Okay.
So we have a very interesting topic tonight. I'm glad to see who all is joined. Good to see y'all. Hopefully you guys will be engaging with the conversation. Hopefully we'll be able to share perspective. You guys give your perspective. And we walk away evolved after the conversation. My favorite couple game. What's up, lovey? So tagline. Because we love talking about love. So part of the name of the podcast, Love Life Legacy, is does love hurt? I know it sounds very blanketed, but the perception of love that I believe, that I know that I'm talking about, is when you are in love with someone in a relationship. This came about because I saw a post on Facebook where one of my friends said, "Love, if you love someone, love is not supposed to hurt. That's the opposite of love." And I disagree. Of course, we're going to have to define what love that we're talking about, because there are different levels of love. But I know for a fact from personal experience that love is supposed to hurt. It is supposed to hurt. Why? Because I am of the belief that you learn some of the best lessons from pain. Pain that is induced because you are in love. And without the pain, sometimes you never learn the lessons that you meant to and intend to actually learn. But what people do, and what I believe people do, is they don't expect for that level of pain to come in, and instead of them waiting for it, they retreat because they don't know how to process it, or they have made themselves to believe that it's not supposed to hurt, or it may be a trigger for them and they decide not to even deal with it. So they would rather just excuse themselves than allowing the pain to actually teach them what they need to learn to better themselves or even better the relationship for that matter. But I think before we go on, we're going to define the type of love we're talking about. My wife actually wrote down some definitions of the different types of love I think she wanted to expound on.
I will, but I don't think I should do it yet.
Okay. Well, you might as well.
Well, I agree with Jonathan to a certain extent. I think, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to whereas for those of us that were disciplined as a child, you know, when a child's being reared, you know, a lot of us heard our parents, you know, our mom say, you know, this hurts me more than it hurts you, kind of sort of thing. And as long as the discipline was out of love, you know, not overdoing it. I'm not talking about the abuse. I'm not talking about any of those awful situations. But the idea is that, you know, that you learn from pain. We also say little cliches like no pain, no gain. You know, little things like that. I know this is another example. When us, you know, girls get our hair done, sometimes there's a little bit of pain. Beauty is pain. I don't understand how we equate other things to pain and having a painful experience, but, you know, it comes out better for you at the end. But when it comes to love, we have this perception that it's supposed to be painless. And it's all flowers and roses, and it's all, you know, I don't know what other word to say, but it's all good. And so I share that my difference from Jonathan is that I believe the process of love is painful. I'm not sure if love itself is painful. Let me clarify.
Okay, go ahead.
The reason why I say the process to love, because I believe love is what it is. And before I start defining the different types of love, I think the love is the love. But the process to perfect love is where I think the pain comes into. The process of trying to stay in love, I think the pain comes into.
Well, I hear you, but love is pain. It's for even to the extent of keeping it within oneself, right? You have to give so much of yourself. You have to even, I won't say downgrade on how you would handle certain situations, but for the sake of you being accepting in this world, you do have to downplay some things about yourself that could be painful to others for the sake of you being accepting to someone or for you actually showing that you are inclusive of someone else's ideas. That kills. I know for a person like me who I'm extroverted and I'm a strong judger, it pains me and it kills me to actually see someone else's life and accept their perspective in regards to loving in spite of. So in my mind, love is painful.
I get it, because love is the action. But let me just go ahead to the different types of love.
Go ahead.
Okay. Does love hurt? That's what we're talking about. And okay, so everybody always hears about agape love, and that is, you know, the selfless type of love. And that is a level of love that honestly most people don't achieve.
Yeah.
You know, we hear about the Eros, and Jonathan's gonna help me with my pronunciation.
That's all right.
Which is the romantic love, and that's what a lot of people feel that they have when it comes to relationship.
Philosia, I guess.
It's philautia. It's philosia. Yeah. You know, don't get on me if I pronounced it wrong. But that
all right, doctorate student.
That is self-love. Hey, I'm a good reader. I can comprehend well.
You're amazing. You're amazing.
You know, there's geeky accents sometimes to come out. Well, philosia is a self-love, and it's necessary to be able to give and receive love. Then you have Storge, is how some people pronounce it, but it's S-T-O-R-G-E, and that's like the parent and child type of love. Mania is M-A-N-I-A, which is obsessive love. People have that type of love too. Lotus, L-U-D-U-S, is a playful type of love. It's an infatuation, which I think a lot of us stay at. Pragma is a type of love that a lot of people don't get to, and that's the enduring type of love. And it's opposite of Eros, which is the romantic type of love. And the reason why understanding love in the different levels of love is important is because we don't conversate enough when we're in relationships to understand the type of love that our significant other or someone that we're interested in is really looking for.
Right.
And we'll love them in one way, or our perception of love is wrong, and we're actually loving them, I don't know, in the magna way, however you pronounce it, which is the obsessive love, which can get really dangerous. That's where we deal with a lot of people in love relationships where they're being abused, love relationships where, you know, people are afraid of their lives because that's the type of love that person has. You know, so we have to make sure that when we're in relationships that we have these conversations so that we can meet each other's expectations of love.
Facts.
Some men, you know, just like, you know, to play around, that kind of playful affatuation love. I like your body. I like that.
That's all.
And that sister is really looking for somebody to really love her, like with the fullness love. She's looking for that pragma love, that enduring love, that I'm your ride or die kind of love. You know, I'm going to be with you to the end kind of love. But you just playing because you're on that other level of kind of love. And I just think as couples, rather we're friends. You know, like for me and can I give this example?
Go ahead.
Okay, so when Jonathan wanted to date me, I only have the Fila kind of love, which is that friendly love, like, you know, like how Philadelphia is like the friendly, you know, this friendly city. But that Fila kind of love, I'm only looking for a friendship. But Jonathan wanted more than a friendship, and I didn't know how to reciprocate that. So
facts.
When he asked to date me, I laughed because you my brother, you know. We boys.
And, you know, we was cool and all that.
Yeah, you know.
But I understand that. But it was time to elevate it past where we was at. Our energies were too intertwined for it just to be a strict friendship.
But I wasn't looking for that kind of love. And in that process, I ended up hurting him and not even understand that because I thought, you know, I was your homegirl.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but see, but that was a conversation. And then next thing you know, he giving me this ultimatum. And I'm like, I thought we friends.
Go ahead. And I want to bring up another
thing
point.
Is, speaking of that, well, you have to do your point.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times when we have those girls, I'm talking to us ladies, when we have those cool guy friends and we friend zone them, you know, we give them that full of love. We be their homegirl. We talk to them or whatever, but they looking for something else. But go ahead with your point.
I wanted to add to this,
okay,
right?
Add.
And what you're saying is a lot of times because of what she's saying, we don't have those conversations or we have an expectation of what love should be one person to the next. We do relationships through the eyes of assumption.
Yes,
we literally assume based on how we receive and interpret love, how someone else receives and interpret love should be the way we receive and interpret love. And that leads to us just assuming that they're supposed to know certain things and they should know better. Or, you know, you should know to do this for me. You should know not to do this, you know, against me. And it's all because we literally are assuming that they interpret love the same way we interpret love, or they're even on the same level of love that we are on. And she just explained it perfectly. I was already transitioning to another level of love from just the minor friendship that we had, which that one would fall under Fila. Okay,
yeah.
No one falls under Fila. I was transitioning out of that. I was trying to go to Pragma. I was trying to get to Pragma. I was trying to, get to a place where we become one with each other, where we get to learn each other more in a more spiritual way, of course, in a physical way. But we started, I wanted to do life with her, but she wasn't there. And it's wrong of me to assume that she was ready for it. I'm not apologizing.
For the ultimatum you gave?
I'm not apologizing because I stick to my guns.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm an alpha man. If I know what I want, I'm coming after it, period. Okay.
All right.
But it's still, I can admit a wrong though.
Okay, so are you admitting wrong? Because you never. I'm admitting. I'm not giving me an ultimatum, and now I'm remembering.
I'm admitting a wrong. Like,
okay.
The wrong is, it was wrong of me to assume that she was ready to receive that level of shift without a conversation.
Oh, you apologize.
Right, but
I am so.
With that being said, I did give you time after the ultimatum to respond. Yes, I did. So although I did not have the conversation.
Somebody please get Kehi on the line. Because I need Nick Kehi tagged somehow. Because that is not how it went.
That is how it went down. I at least still allowed time for you to.
How much time was this?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Because don't maybe have the fullness of witnesses.
You can phone it whoever you want to. I remember the story and the account perfectly.
Okay.
You know, but at the same time, the point I was trying to make is we do relationships through the eyes of assumption. Mm-hmm. And it's really wrong and it's unfair to the person that we are engaged in a relationship with. We really put them at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
We do not allow them the space to come where we are in love and to grow where we are in love. Or for us to even grow where they are. They may be on another level and we may need to get where they are. But we have taught ourselves to believe that we understand love in its totality and we have it together when we always need to leave room for growth and adjusting. And because of it, because we feel like we've arrived before we've even done the work to get to arriving, we put that person that is interested in us at a disadvantage, and it's selfish. It's really selfish of us to think that we should not at least try to appeal to their level, or we need to stop assuming so that we can leave space for love to do its thing.
Okay.
That was the point I wanted to make.
So going back on that, you know, how I loved you as a friend, the full of love, and you were already moving. And ladies, we say this all the time. I just don't like him like that. I love him, but I just don't love him like that. When you're at that point, when you can identify that there is some level of love, just because you don't love him like that yet, doesn't mean that you can't.
Oh, man. Oh, are you going to finish before? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
When you are able to love somebody as a friend, that is the best foundation you can have to build a relationship upon. When with a friend, you a lot more transparent. I mean, a real friend, you a lot more vulnerable. Your expectations are a little different. So I would challenge some females, if you find somebody that you love, that you really cool with, but you just don't love him like that, invest a little bit more time in that person.
Mm.
You know, sit a little closer with that person.
Mm.
Have more transparent type of conversation with that person. Mm. And then your love will grow to the next level. But I'm going to pass it on to Jonathan because I'm about to switch it real quick.
No, you don't need to switch it. Because okay. This the prove what she's saying, right? I love talking about us. We got stories. To prove what she's saying, I was not her type of person to date or to fall in love with. First thing, I'm not light skinned. I'm not
like any shade wrong, of brown.
Wrong.
He's historically from my pattern of dating. But I have dated brown skinned dudes.
I'm the darkest you've ever dated.
No, that's not true.
Oh, that is a fact.
Okay.
We ain't talking about this casual, let me take you out type thing. I'm actually talking about a relationship
okay,
with.
Okay, I only had two real relationships.
First of all, that's true. That's true. I'm not light skinned. And number two, some other things that she said that she had to learn to get past.
Some of the physical things. I had to get past, yes.
She had to get past.
But with love, I was able to.
You were.
And then I fell in love with all the things that I thought I hated.
You did. Mm-hmm. You did. You know, and if she didn't, she would have missed out on all of this.
I love it. But
go ahead, baby.
No, so, and then to tag it back into why love hurts or does love hurts for several different reasons, and expectations is one of them.
Oh my God. And set the right expectations, people. Babe, I'm sorry for cutting you off. Set the right expectations. A lot of times what I hear people saying to me or to us in conversations, or I don't want whoever I'm involved with to do A, B, C, D, right? And in my mind, I cannot fathom how you can predict and hold somebody to such a high standard if you know they are not a robot. We are human beings. We are built to make mistakes. We are built to fail. And that's why I said in the beginning of the podcast, or in the discussion, is that we learn our greatest lessons from some of our hardest failures. You have to allow people to be people and stop setting so many false expectations on people that you're interested in, even so much to the point of saying, well, A, B, and C may be a deal breaker. I understand that we all go through pain, and I get everybody levels and tolerances are different. And we have, everybody has a threshold, and I get that. But if you go into it already saying that this is it, if you do this, I can't deal, you can't be this, whatever the list may be, you literally are already leaving that person no room to fail
or to grow
past their failures. I think it's because as human beings, we do a lot of looking outward before we look inward. Mm-hmm. We have to look to ourselves first, and remember, as much as you hold someone else to a higher guard and a high expectation, you should be able to do that to yourself. But the truth is, you can't. Why? Because you're human. Some things you may succeed on. Some things you may be great at. Even some things you've made mastered. But remember, for every one thing you've mastered, there are three other things that you fail at.
I'm pretty sure it's more than that for me.
Well, and there may be more. But the failures or the setbacks sometimes and most of the times far outweighs the successes, but it's pivotal for growth. Mm. It's pivotal for personal growth and evolution, and it's pivotal for growth in a relationship. You have to allow each other room to fail.
Paulette agrees. She says, so true. We have to leave room for growth. And she said, our expectations instead of being open-minded.
Yes. To me, I'm going to try and coin this.
Okay.
Because I like how it sounded in my head. And maybe it'll sound different when I say it out loud.
Okay, come on.
But I believe that you have to fail in love.
Oh, I definitely believe that.
You have to fail.
Let me write that one.
You
got to
write that down. I hope I remember it after this conversation. But you have to fail in love. You have to allow your failures to teach you how to overcome and build strength. That's where endurance comes from.
That's that pragma.
That's the pragma. You have to look at it like you are building muscle.
Can I interject for 1 second?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm about to go on a tangent. I'm glad you drew me back.
I was like, let me just go ahead.
Reel me in.
So that's another one. And I want to explain what I mean by where I say we have to watch our expectations. Okay. Because we expect from when we get into a relationship, some of us, not everybody, that pragma type of enduring love up front.
Mm.
Love is an art.
Yeah.
And I don't think we take the time to really dissect love and to really find out the strategy to love. And I know I didn't. I know we didn't. We had to fail at love a lot to get to where we're at now. And anyways, let me get back to my
Go ahead, babe.
And so in order for you to get to the pragma type or the enduring type of love, you know.
Right.
That means you have to endure some stuff.
Exactly.
But people expect that type of love up front because they have this expectation that love is not supposed to hurt and love is supposed to be fine. But that's not so. So to regulate our expectations, understand that there's levels to love. And the first level of love should be philosha, which is that self-love.
Yes.
If you have your philosha kind of love together, then loving yourself and others will become easier.
That is so true. And let me ask you a question. With that being said, do you think that the reason why people can't get over someone else treating them wrong?
Say it. Go ahead.
What was I going to say?
The reason why they can't get over other people treating them wrong is because of how they treat and believe in themselves?
Yes.
That is exactly it.
Yes.
And you know another thing that I don't like when I see this across Facebook, and I appreciate it only because I know what people are trying to say, but they don't know how to execute, is when I'm working on me. Mm. I understand that you're working on you, but how are you working on you?
Mm.
And you working on you, what's your attitude when you're working on you?
Mm.
When you work with your strategy of working on you, how are you working on you? Or you say, I'm going to do me and do you or whatever. How are you doing it? Are you doing it selfishly, arrogantly, just spiteful? Or how are you doing that? Because the only way to do self-love is to do it humbly, is to do it with a lot of introspection, looking at yourself, finding out those things that you don't like about you, and just carving through those layers of why those ideas are even there.
Right.
And finding ways to uplift yourself and encourage yourself in those areas until you like you, until you love you, until you understand why you are you. That's how you start to build the philosha kind of love. Not just staying to yourself, not dolling yourself up to make you look good on the surface. That's not loving yourself at all. Mm. That's decorating yourself. You know, and I'm not saying it to be harsh or facetious or anything.
That's good.
I just want people to understand that the philosha kind of love is really taking that time out for yourself and really love self. Not to love self to where you're arrogant, or to love yourself to where you're, what's the word when you like self-absorbed? It escaped me. But anyway, fool yourself. I forgot the word that I'm looking for.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's okay. But to have that philosha kind of love. Once you get that
conceited.
Thank you. Hello, gotta get you. And you can build self-love and other types of love at the same time. I know for me, in order for me to have built my philosha type of love that I am at right now, I needed the strength of the other loves in my life. I needed the strength from the love that I got from my parents. I needed the strength from the love that I was getting from my relationship. I needed the strength of all kind of loves. And that's another thing that I don't like when people say that I'm going to do me and whatever. Isolation is rarely a place to grow. And I'm saying that with caution. Especially if you're trying to grow in love.
Yeah.
Yes, isolation is good for self-meditation. Isolation is good for moments. But isolation itself, I would not encourage anybody to grow isolated. I just don't believe it's safe. And when I look at the way that I was able to grow, and we all are different, and I'm introverted, I had to grow being planted around others that were at where I was driving to be.
Right.
It's an analogy. Well, actually, it's a real story. I don't know where his origin is, but it was talking about babies. And what happened was, when these babies were born, they withheld love from these babies. When I mean withheld love, there was no touch. there was nothing. When the babies wanted something, when the babies were eating, they just fed the baby, put the baby down. There was no conversation. There was nothing with these babies. And they did an experiment with, I think, about 12 or more babies. Don't quote me on the amount. But at the end of the experiment, because those babies weren't touched and they weren't showed any love and compassion and they didn't have any of those, all died in the experiment within a short amount of time. And that just showed you that our, the way we are made to communicate. We are made to have relationship and fellowship with one another. So if you're isolating yourself, that is not a good place to grow. Yes, right. Have moments of isolation. But if you're finding yourself isolated, and that's how you do life isolated, it is not healthy. Right. And it doesn't facilitate an atmosphere of love and growth.
Well, let's get to some of the comments on the feed.
Oh, sorry.
Steph said, self-love is so hard. Yes, it is.
We can touch that. Self-love is hard based on what you went through.
And the expectations that you allow society to place on you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. I understand it's hard to not compare when you live around people and a world to compare yourself constantly to, but you have to really know yourself, and in you knowing yourself, you end up loving yourself, and you accept who you are. And it's hard to do that when you lack the confidence within yourself, and that could be due to you not having a strong support system growing up, you being bullied growing up. Absence of love from parents, may not have siblings. You may not have been in a conducive, loving household situation. That could be to all that in upbringing. But at the end of the day, I still think the buck still stops with you. If you want to accept yourself, accept yourself. Look, I know. And like I said, I understand it's tough, but you have to do the hard work and the tough work on yourself. You have to look in the mirror at yourself. And you say, I love me. Regardless of what people say, you know, my wife doesn't like this all the time when this statement is used, but sometimes you do have to fake it till you make it. You do have to sometimes speak to yourself in ways that you start to believe what you say, you know, as a way of training your mind past the programming that you've already allowed to come in from your upbringing or societal norms that you just don't line up with. And you keep doing it until you believe it, and you keep doing it until it sticks. And a lot of times, I'm of the belief of this, a lot of times you won't even recognize it if you consistently do it or over time. Others will.
Yeah.
You'll hear things like, there's something different about you. You know, there's a certain glow. You got a little something going on. You got a little swag going on. Mm-hmm. You more likely won't see it, but others will. And then that's when the light bulb will come on. And you'll start to notice that, hey, I really am getting it. And you keep on doing that. So I get self-love is hard, but self-love is the best love.
It is. And another part. While we're talking about this, I was thinking about it, is that pride has many different faces. And sometimes our expectations of ourselves may seem like we're insecure, and it's actually us being prideful and entitled. And the reason why I say that is because some people feel like they have to be to a certain place to love themselves and to love others. And we just have to be careful that that we're not struggling because we're feeling entitled, or we feel like we deserve this, or why do I look like this? Why don't I look like her? You know, why does she have that? Why I can't have that? Make sure it's not of that attitude that is causing you not to love yourself. Make sure that it's not an attitude of, I deserve to be like this. You know, why does that person have that? Remember that we all should remain humble, and that we shouldn't be entitled.
Yes.
I actually find that sometimes dealing with teens, And I actually had a conversation about one of my daughters about that. You know, find out why you're insecure. You know, if insecurity is an issue, you know, is it because you feel like things should be a certain way and they're just not? Or is it really something that has happened that has triggered it? And sometimes when we start at the root of things, you know, it can help us get through, will get us to where we're trying to go a lot sooner. Sometimes it's hard because we just don't know where to start. And all I'm trying to say is find the right starting point so that you can heal and have the self-love that you need.
Let's go back to another comment all the way up with Latoya Powell.
Hey, twin.
Hey.
She said.
What's going on? She said, I felt that it's hard not to say if you do that, it's a deal breaker. When you said you're not leaving the person room to grow or fail and learn from their failures, I have a problem with that.
And I do too. And the reason why I say that is because I got to preface this.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's not a... this is hard. Everybody... I'm cringing trying to say this. Do not...
Just say it. Say it with love.
Say it with love. But everybody don't deserve all the same chances. I am... I think we all have deal breakers. I think Jonathan was saying when we enter a relationship and we charge... it's really hard.
Okay.
And the reason why it's hard for me is that I don't ever give advice for somebody... to put themselves in situations that they shouldn't be in.
No, and I agree.
Because I don't know what you've been through.
That's true.
And I don't want to put a statement out there not knowing exactly what it is.
That is true.
So I just want to be cautious of how I give advice.
That
because,
is.
But let me explain. Hold on one second. Let me explain why. Because I had deal breakers in my relationship, right? And in my relationship, because of the type of relationship I had, some of my deal breakers happened, but we were able to overcome them together. And I'm just, that don't work out for everybody.
Right.
And so that's why I want to be careful of saying certain things, but go ahead.
No, and I understand that, and I get that. Number one, I feel like the relationship that we're talking about, the person that you're in a relationship with, has checked off things that you're looking for, and have been vetted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have decided that this person is someone of integrity, someone of character, someone that meets your morals, meets your values, and you know they didn't come in it with an intention of failing you.
Okay, I'm with you.
If I want to preface the statement,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Because we are proponents for healthy relationships, I don't like to deal so much on the dysfunctional ones and giving advice towards those.
Yeah.
I can give you advice on how to come out of those so that you can get healthy, but we are rearing the conversation towards healthy relationships.
Yeah.
People being whole and coming together in a relationship. So when I say two people that allow each other to fail in love, those people have done the work and are continuing to do the work,
mm-hmm,
and will continue to do the work, and have just found themselves in a space where they failed, and they haven't met or didn't meet expectation of the one that they are in a relationship with. So, Toya, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's hard sometimes to allow people to hurt you. That is the truth of the matter. We're talking about inflicted pain and allowing someone who said they love you and you say you love them to inflict pain on you. That's God's honest truth about what we're saying. And to the average person's mind that doesn't know how to process the strength of failing in love, they would say, no one is supposed to do that to you. No one is You should allow people to inflict pain on you. You should allow people to take you through different things that you deal with. You shouldn't allow people to put you in that predicament. And I'm saying, okay, I get that. You're absolutely right. But with everything, there's a cause and an effect, right? And I understand that we constantly deal with the effect, but we deal with the effect in the absence of a cause. Because we run so soon because we don't want that inflicted pain to be put on us. And we forfeit the lesson, we forfeit the love, and sometimes we forfeit the blessing. If it's worth it, why forfeit it? You know how many times parents, and I'm speaking to you, that we have to forgive our children and love in spite of? Oh my God. And the reason why I understand this type of love is because how many times over that I've even said to myself that I would be willing to forgive my children. Somehow or another, we have esteemed our children or even over marriage. That's another conversation. That's another conversation because I don't agree with that. Okay. But for some reason or another, we will esteem our children over our relationship, over our marriage, right? We don't, because we've had these conversations, but I know a lot of people still do. And because I understand that's how they esteem it, I try to put inflicting pain or falling in love from the perspective of a parent and a child. A child will fail you time and time and time and time and time and time again, right? And we allow children to fail and learn and fail and learn and fail and learn. But for some reason, when we are an adult, we take up the attitude that because you're age, you should know better. Or because you're this age, you should have grown. You should have matured. You should have everything together. But I really feel like that is an unfair statement. We're still human beings. And I understand. Hear me, babe. I know you're going to rebut it. Right? And I understand that once you become a certain age, and you are looked at through the eyes of that age, that you should know certain things shouldn't be done or off limits.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
No, that's something. You didn't sing that song. That's pretty creepy. Now I know the context of it.
I understand. I'm just saying.
But at the same time, we all still have our own levels to grow, our own experience to allow failures to help us to grow. And we shouldn't judge based off what we think somebody should be at. Let the person grow. See that? How you allow that child to grow? You don't know what that person has allowed to come in their life and allowed to strengthen them, their character, and allow them to grow.
I just don't think people understand that really love is a growth thing.
It's
a growth thing. We can't have the expectation because someone said they love you, or even if because they love you, that they love you.
You 36 years old and you still blah 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 blah.
But what's the level of love they on?
What's their experiences?
They probably ain't got the pragma type of love, and that's that enduring love.
What's their background?
It's
so many layers.
You know, we gotta get to
the I'm level. Sorry. I'm sorry.
All right.
Tawana had put a good one on there.
Hold on, Paulette, she said, one thing I learned is that me loving me didn't make me ready for a relationship. Girl, yes, that's exactly what I was referring to about, you know, when people do you.
Boo-boo.
But you only can grow that philosophy kind of love. And that's only with you. It does not prepare you for the Fila kind of love, the Eros kind of love, the Pragma type of love, because you have no practice there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good example.
Mm.
You have to practice. Love is practicing. Well, and you practicing, you're going to make mistakes until you get it right.
Well, that's what I was going to say. My weightlifting, you cut me off.
Oh, I'm sorry. but yeah.
It's all good.
But it's all practice. Brian Hill says, so true. Competition. Taiwana, I found myself isolating myself because of my past experiences And then I went into a deeper isolation due to my financial situation at the time. Then I encouraged myself to get up and do what I needed to do to change my situation, but then failure came. Mm. All of that threw me for a loop, and a light bulb went off to look deeper within myself and figure out why I am putting myself through what I was going through. Started at the root, which is me and loving myself. I'm still learning day by day about me and loving me more every day.
Oh, that is awesome, incredible. Sis. That is incredible.
That's right.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That is incredible.
And see, Taiwana, your sisters on this thing went through the same thing as you. Mm. Toya can relate. Paulette can relate. I can relate.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. That is so true, man. Mm-hmm. That was a pregnant pause on that one. That's
true, because you have to find the root, you know, within you. You build that type of self-love.
That's true.
And that's a really good foundation.
It is. And it's like...
It is the foundation.
But your past experiences, because she said of what she went through, mm-hmm. her past experiences made her go into isolation mm-hmm. and made her retreat. And I get it, because you may be able to get punched once and bounce back. But if you get hit 5 times... same strength, same spot, you may not be able to bounce back so fast. You may want to go into isolation.
Yeah, you can't stay there.
I look at the analogy of the body to think about life a lot. You know, our bodies are created to heal itself. Mm-hmm. If we get a cut on our arm, and I love the process of healing. When we get a cut, it bleeds, mm-hmm. right? And you have to stop. Oh, that's a bar.
I'm about to.
You have to stop the bleeding.
Yes.
You can watch the bleeding.
You can let it.
You can let it drip.
I already know where you're going. I'm getting excited.
You can watch it drip, yep. right? And you can say, man, this thing is not stopping. Or you literally can get paper towel or rag, some alcohol or something to disinfect it, some peroxide, mm-hmm. put it on that rag and stop the bleeding yourself.
But you gotta apply some pressure.
Yes. You have to apply you have to apply pressure yes. to stop the bleed.
Yes.
But the point is you have to stop the bleed.
You do.
So sis, when I hear you say that, you know, you found yourself after those things, that was you stopping the bleed, mm-hmm. right? But then there's some more to the process of healing, mm-hmm. because that wound then is going to hurt
more
yeah. before it gets better. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to scab. And while it's scabbing,
it looks bad.
It looks really bad. But you know what we do as humans? Mm-hmm. And yeah. even I do this. We pick at the scab mm-hmm. when the scab is there to protect the wound, because we can't forfeit the process of healing. Boy, that's a bar.
Or you got people like me.
Man, that's a bar.
That I don't pick at my scabs, but I cover it up.
Mm.
I don't want it to be seen. You know, so we all have.
And
our
you know,
ways.
And her, but you know where the problem comes in.
On both of ours.
No, for yours, just yeah. for yours. When you cover it up.
Uh-huh.
You're not exposing it to the right oxygen that it needs.
Can't do that.
To the right sunlight that it needs. Mm-hmm. It needs to be exposed.
It does.
And while it's exposed, you need not to pick at it.
Right.
Because if you pick at it, you're exposing it and prolonging the healing. Boy, that's a bar.
That's a bar.
And then catch this. The process of healing still ain't over then.
It's not.
Right? The scab
you can
has
keep to starting it over with you picking at it.
Picking
scab.
At it. No. But the scab has to fall off.
Yes.
Right?
It's just on my
which brain. Means it's healed. Mm-hmm. But then you still have to watch your skin change and try to get form back to where it was. Yes. Now watch this though. It never gets
all the way back.
Boy, that's a bar. Hey, come on, get this again. That's a bar. It never gets all the way back. You are always have a mark or a scar there to remind you of what you went through. But you literally have to go through that whole process. Mm-hmm. You literally have to go through that process. And as much as you want to run away from that pain, as much as you want to pick at that scab, and as much as you are irritated at how long the process takes for it to heal, it is necessary.
Okay. So oh, I
bars.
I burned. Oh, hello, hello.
Bars.
I burned a nothing out of my arm with some grits just a few weeks ago. Y'all probably can't see it.
But you can.
I mean, it's okay.
They okay.
I might pull some pictures later or whatever when Jonathan edit the video. But I burned a nothing out of this arm one day.
Yeah.
Fixing breakfast. Jonathan told me not to cook, to rest.
Man.
I had a day off. I was like, no, I'll make some shrimp and grits. Okay. I burned myself really bad. And I immediately, when it happened, I did what I had to do to it. I drove to the store, got whatever I got to do to it. And it had looked really bad, y'all. Would you say it was a second degree burn?
Yeah.
It was really bad. But I challenged myself to listen to Jonathan's instructions. I went to Shea, gave me some ointment and stuff. All in a nutshell, my burn was good within the first week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second week, it started healing all right. And I got skin back by the third week, and I thought this was going to take forever. I just promised. So it didn't take as long to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I have another class that we need to see, and it took a little long time because when Jonathan was around, I was covering it up. You know, I wasn't doing what I needed to do to it because I didn't like the way it looked. I didn't like the way the cut at the time made it feel. Like, I remember one time he hurt it in my leg and I prolonged the process.
Yeah.
But for me to get a second degree burn on my arm and I trust the process, I pick at it, I expose when I need to. I was trying to.
And I was there to remind her.
And it really healed really fast.
Mm-hmm.
That even the kids were like, hey, mama, that thing. But it was really bad, but I had to trust even when I didn't want to.
Right.
And took heed to the instruction to let it be. And it was a painful healing process being burned like that. But
right.
It's just trusting it. But
right.
I ended up being healed a lot faster than some of the other minor cuts that I've gotten.
Because you trusted the process. You trusted the process and you allowed yourself
to heal
to
on its own because our body was created
to heal
to
itself.
Heal.
And that's why I love using the body as an analogy for life, a lot that we do in life. And I really do believe that that's the way God intended it. I mean, to be honest with you, you just learn so much.
I want to say she had a scab feet.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, Sish, as long as you need to stay in the scab face, stay there and don't pick at it. And with that being said, peep this. I got to make this point. With you being in the scab phase, don't allow triggers to force you to pick at it.
Mm.
Because everyone has their triggers.
We all do.
And triggers will set you back 2 steps, 10 steps.
That's a whole nother. I got to write that down. We got to talk about triggers.
If you allow it to. The first things first, identify and know what the triggers are.
Right.
You have to know what they are.
We still talking about love and all
this. Know what the triggers are so that you can build a proper defense net mechanism to them. Don't block them, right? You can allow them, but be mindful of them and don't let them set you back. Because again, we're talking about affliction and failing in love and
love
getting
hurting.
To there and love hurting. So I don't want you to think that you're not supposed to allow them to get there. Know what they are. And when they pop up, you've built yourself in fortitude to identify them and handle them and not let you regress back and pick at that scab.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. TT said, really glad you made the point that loving in isolation is not healthy. I had zero desire to build friendships with more than one or two people.
She quit.
So I would, huh? would purposely push people away when they got too close. I can look back and see that those could have been some of the best friendship ever. Lesson learned, I hope. That's good, TT. That's good. But I feel you with that. I really do. About limiting the amount of friendships and things like that, because friendships with the wrong people, I feel like you only need one friend. But to be isolated, you know, I learned a lot because of the friendships that I have had. And I learned a lot from people and just being exposed to different situations.
Yeah.
And it was good.
She said, man, living. I want to go to.
What is it? I am now in almost 2 year cycle from this torture. Oh, you picking at scabs, Toya?
go down to. She said, love. Love is not from people. It's a relationship that one first has to know God or thyself before they can love someone else. Jonathan, even when we were in school, we could tell that your mom loved you and she displayed it even in showing up at school spoke volumes. Facts. While some of us were still going home and being raped, so it was definitely a lot of walls of hurt to be torn down. What my God. If I knew now what I know, I would have saved myself a long time ago. But now I help others get past their scars as much as I can.
Toya,
thank you so much for sharing that. That thing hit me just now.
I know. I don't even know how to.
All I can say is, sis, I'm glad that you are getting over it. You know, it seems like you have, because you've been doing the work, because you're helping others. And I guess I will just continue to encourage you to continue to help others as a way of you healing yourself. I know that's
staying healed.
And because I know that's something that I do, is a way of getting over something or trying to process things, is I reach out and give out and help out. And a way to put myself back in perspective. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
So as we begin to wrap up,
our hour.
So we talked so about fast. Tonight, you know, does love hurt? And we didn't, there's no answer. You know, is it depends on the person, the situation.
What? The expectations. Is an answer. I say yes.
Donna says it's an answer, but.
I say yes.
Does love hurt? What y'all think?
Yeah. I say yes from all the dialogue, the input, the conversation.
You sure?
Yeah. I think it is.
Love hurts or the process hurts?
The process hurts. I'll say that.
Thank you, because that was what I disagreed with.
I know. I mean, we do a lot of yielding. The statement of happy wife, happy life is fact. True. Oh, my God. That is a fact.
But happy. I'm only happy if you happy.
The only way I'm happy is if you're happy.
But the only way I'm happy is if you're happy.
Yeah, but babe, you get your happiness from me yielding to you.
And we both happy?
Yeah. That's why I say happy wife, happy life. Men, we yield a lot.
And as women yield a lot.
I'm not saying y'all don't.
I yield.
No, you don't. Oh, and this is one of the conversations I want to have later. Who sacrifices more, man or woman? Bro, in a case of us yielding, men.
You yield your body in birth 5 times?
Babe, okay. One of the sisters, I don't know if she's watching now at work. We got in a debate about this. And she used that. And I said, you can't use the Trump card. I mean, that's a Trump card, right?
Trump card.
And I get that. And I kept going back and beating her in the conversation because she didn't understand. I was using her for information to kind of help us with the conversation. But, you know, that was her point. Mm-hmm. Giving in birth. I know I can't give her.
You got 2 people that says it does hurt. Taiwana said it does hurt even with your children, parents, and siblings.
Facts.
And TT said it does. And some of it is beautiful hurt at the end, though.
Facts. That is yes.
True. You know, it's like being... refined by fire. We hear that all the time. Proven, like how diamonds are made. You know, is the pressure.
How swords are made. Yes, and steel just, is made.
I sharp an iron. You know, it's just, it's perfecting process. You know, like I said in the beginning, you know, we hurt or pain to quit with so many different faces in our life. I said, when we get our hair done, we see the biggest pain. You know,
I don't want to get back to the gym, which I am because I'm the biggest I've ever been in. Right? There's a tearing of the muscle that has to happen.
Yes.
And the reason, the way how you build muscle is it has to be torn, mm-hmm. and then the muscle fibers rebuild itself up.
And that's how you get.
And that's how you get bulk, because you tear and it builds on top, and right. you tear and it builds more, and that's how you get bulk. But
it's pain.
So
I've been trying to lift weights. It's been a while. We've been at the gym in a minute. But when I start to go to the next level of what I'm lifting, my arms shake if I'm doing arms, my leg shakes if I'm doing legs, and my body is like trembling because of the, is that endurance? Or what makes our body tremble when we're lifting?
It's lack of strength.
Lack of strength. Well,
yeah, your muscles are weak.
As we in love,
mm-hmm.
you know, is a shakening, is our bodies like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. Oh, I don't know if y'all remember this, but it was this video of this little boy trying to get into a pool.
Oh, yeah. And it was shaking.
And somebody had said, this is me trying to go back in love. But that's for real.
It is like for real.
You know, it's a strength that needs to be there. And I remember one time I did a pulse and I was just saying, you know, to be strong enough to love.
Man.
Like, there is a strength that has to come with it. Ain't for the wimps. You know, if you a coward, love is not for you.
No.
Because in order for you to grow from stage to stage, there's an endurance that has to happen. It's like running a mile and you getting tired and you just have to find that second, third, fourth, fifth win to keep you going.
Right.
And if you got to tap out, because whatever you're going through in your relationship, tap out.
If that's what's best for you.
But for those of us that are enduring and still running this race, it is a tiredness. It is a shaking of the leg. There's muscle spasms, Charlie horses, whatever.
Injuries.
Crooked neck, whatever, stiff neck.
Charlie horse, yeah, you said Charlie horse? Charlie okay. horse.
There's some things that you're going to have to endure.
You will.
You know, and it's just that's necessary.
And when people ask us what's our secret, that's our secret.
Yeah.
It's just enduring and loving in spite of.
Mm-hmm. And it's been many a times where, shoot, I remember we say we can get divorced at 6 months. Did we make it to 6 months before we say we can get divorced?
Well, actually, we was arguing on the way downstairs because to get married.
And I was like, well, you know we can just get a divorce.
And
divorce
I hated that.
My favorite word.
She hit me with divorce so many times.
6 months. We going to get a divorce. I think we ain't even been a year. Maybe 11 months. Divorce. A year. Divorce.
Divorce.
Now I'm banned from saying it.
Banned, man. But I can't
say it unless I really mean it.
Yeah. And I hope that we never get to a place where she really means it, because we're continuing to do the work.
Well, I had meaning all those other times, but I just can't keep abusing the word.
No, you can't, man. It hurts, because I told her when we were teenagers, I'm not getting married to get divorced.
And I'm like,
if it just don't work, that was just get a divorce. Just get a divorce. Nah, we ain't doing
that.
That
was my attitude.
We ain't doing that. But you have to, and again, we're wrapping it up, man. I really love this conversation. You know, allow pain to do what it needs to perfect you. Don't be afraid to fail in love. Leave room for growth. Take your notes and learn your lessons from your past. Let your scars always remind.
Commenting at all tonight, except for Brian. Brian said something. Thank you, Brian Hill. But you know, when we talk about love, it's not just to the ladies, and I don't want that to be.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm sorry that we didn't do a better job focusing.
Because everything that we said tonight was twofold. It was not gendered towards and geared towards the women.
It wasn't gender specific at all.
It was not. And
it's just that the ladies, what you guys do a lot better than we do, and this is obvious, ladies are better at being vulnerable and open and in mm-hmm. tune with their emotions. And because men aren't, this is why we are the hardest ones to crack and we have the most problems. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is a conversation that is needed. And I will make sure that I have that conversation and address the men. And hopefully when I do have that conversation, we can get some brothers in on the discussion so we can really start to heal. But you can't heal what you have not revealed. And men do not like revealing anything. We like to keep it all to ourselves. We don't like to talk because we feel it's weak. We don't like being vulnerable because we feel like we're punks. And that's why we're jacked up and we're messed up. And hurting people. Man, okay, can I stop this? Okay, so last thing. With that being said, right, as far as men, because I understand that and I'm not absent from my masculinity, I know that in this world, being soft, vulnerable, or even an emotion to man, you're considered a punk. Let's just call it what it is. You're considered weak, you're considered gay, all the words. You're considered
like
all
Russell
that.
Like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you considered, you know, soft, right? And the world would not allow you the time to be vulnerable and tune into your emotional side as you develop your emotional intelligence as a man and try to deal with the facets of the world, their expectations of what it means to be a man. So we open up. We shut our emotional side down. We don't like to be vulnerable. We don't talk. And that's why we're so damaged. And because I know the world does impose expectations on men, I have to be okay with my son. My son is a sweet boy. So sweet. And he's super sweet. Prep my son and I send him out into the world will eat him alive, chew him up, and spit him out. He is a young black man in America, and he cannot be without a certain edge. He cannot be without a certain talent. And if he does not develop that, or he gets a certain age, we send him out. Who actually allowed me to I was raised with so much love, and a lot. She allowed me to be vulnerable. She allowed me to cry. She allowed me to whine. She allowed me to show all the things that men, quote unquote, are supposed to show. So when I went out into the world and I showed those things, because my mama gave me the space in my house, I was picked on. I was mistreated. I was bullied. I was roughed up. I got in so many fights, and I had to adjust and adapt really quick because I was tired of being picked on. I was tired of being laughed at. I was tired of being abused, basically. And I had to develop an edge really quick. And because I did, I was able to survive. I was, but I never forgot my vulnerability. I never fell out of love or like with my emotional side. So when I got relationship, I was able to tap right back into it because that's how my mama raised me from the beginning. I was forced because society forced me to develop an edge, be tough and be hard and not cry, not show emotion, all that, right? I had to do that. And I don't want my son to go through that same thing. So I have to train him as much as it pains
me. But he still might.
And I understand
the
that
the world's perfecting of him is different from what he can get with us too.
But I have to do my job. And I'll wrap up. I'm not going to keep talking. Good night, y'all. We went over. Good night, everybody. I appreciate y'all.
That's another facet of love. That's the storge type of love, the love that we have between our children and what our parents have for us. And there's just love all around.
Well, we appreciate y'all. We love y'all.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for sticking in there with us. Yes. Went 10 minutes over. We officially know that we're going to be doing these at the minimum once a week, every Saturday, 8 o'clock. If it changes, we'll let you guys know. If y'all have a topic y'all want us to hit on, you guys can hit us up in our inbox, Facebook, Singleton, Jonathan Singleton. We're about to do a group.
Invites for those. Please share it.
Share it. We're working diligently to not only do live, we're going to do YouTube. Of course, we're going to do podcasts. That's why we named the Love Life Legacy Podcast. Website, the whole nine yards. We're trying to make this thing official.
Like a ref with a whistle.
Because we're in the service of giving back and helping and sharing and engaging and dialoguing. And again, you can't heal what you haven't revealed. And this is a way to reveal it. So from our house to you guys, to you all, we love you.
We love you all.
And thank you for sticking in with us. Good night. See y'all on the flip side. Peace.